Before I get into the word in this morning, I first would like to, well, in this night, let me first state that I greatly honor and I respect the spiritual authority that is over this house, both Pastor Leon and Pastor Esther Leader-Priya. It is an honor and a privilege to take the service tonight again. Amen. And are you guys excited for the word tonight? This morning I spoke on the many rooms that is available in our Father's house, that is in heaven. And I spoke on how we as sons and daughters of God have access to these rooms, that is in our Father's house, that is in heaven, even while we are walking here on earth. And the very thing that will give us access to these rooms is our level of intimacy with God. And so when we speak of intimacy, we speak of worship. And you need to understand that if you want to access all the various rooms that is available to us as believers in our Father's house, that you're going to have to learn how to worship in spirit and in truth. And so tonight I want to speak on, I want to preach tonight. And my voice is almost gone because of this morning. I went full out, because I'm used to either taking the morning or the evening, so I just gave everything. So bear with me, please. It feels like I've swallowed razors. And tonight I want to speak on worship, how we use worship as a weapon, how we use worship to redeem time, and how we use worship so that God can locate us. Where you come to a point where it is God meeting man, and a divine additive is being added, where identity is being changed, perception is being changed, a vision is being changed, words are being changed, the very fiber of you being transformed into His likeness. Amen. And so the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23, the King James Version, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, and it says, "But the hour come and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Understand that it is worship that will bring you into a dimension where you will meet God face to face, and a fire will be released that will change and transform every dimension, area, and aspect of your life. It is the most, the highest level of intimacy that we can have with God is when we worship in spirit and in truth. It will bring change to every part of your life. It will cause you to go in a dimension where the fire of God is being released over your life, like in the book of Acts. Listen, the whole book of Acts can be summed up in three words, and that is up, down, and out, meaning that Jesus Christ went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and we were sent out. But before Jesus went up, He gathered with the disciples on the mountain, and He gave them a great commission. But before they could go forth in this great commission and be partakers of the activities of the kingdom of heaven, they would need help. They would need help from heaven, and they would need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so God left them with a great command. And He said that, listen, go and wait until you receive the gift that you heard me spoke of, that my Father will send. Go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so the word tarry means to wait. But this is no normal kind of waiting. This is a waiting in a sense of worship, where you wait with anticipation and expectation for a move of God to take place. And so they gathered in the upper room, and then in oneness they started to pray. And the ground upon which they stood started to shake. And the Spirit of God came in like a mighty wind and rested upon each and every one of them in the forms of flaming, tongues of flaming fire. and they got baptized in fire and in power and in the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And the Bible said that when they left, they started to preach the Word of God with boldness. Understand that your worship will bring you to a place that when you leave, you will gain power and fire to be able to preach the Word of God with boldness. Your worship is the very thing that will cause God to locate you. Worship is the very secret weapon that have been given the church today. But many is oblivious of this fact, because the perception of what worship is distorted. And what you think is worship is not what worship is. Many people think that worship is going to church on a Sunday, and we make melody and sing praises unto God, and that's worship. It's not that at all. Worship is birthed in your hearts, and it comes forth from your spirit man. Worship is where you apply the entirety of your being, coming before God, and all that you want is just to show that you adore Him, and that you admire Him, and that you respect Him, and that you love Him, and that you apply with everything within you. You apply yourself into worship with words saying, God, I love you. God, I admire you. God, I need more of you. God, I'm hungry for you. You are everything in my life. Worship is not music. If you take away the music and the words, you should still be able to worship. Music is only a result of worship. It is not worship. Listen, the Greek word for the word worship is proskuneo. And proskuneo means to prostrate, to fall flat to the ground. It means that you fall face flat to the ground in adoration to His splendor, His glory, and His honor. And it also means to kiss. And kiss speaks of intimacy. Amen? Say worship. It speaks of intimacy. It's a certain word that I'm looking for. Just bear with me. Affection. When we speak of kissing, we speak of affection. Right? So your worship requires you to show affection. This is why it's worried to me when I get to church and I see people stand like this in worship. It shows a lack of intimacy. It shows and it tells me that there is no relationship with God. Your worship demands that you show intimacy towards God. Your worship demands that you show affection towards God. Worship is the very thing that will release the blessings of God over your life. Understand that God is almighty and that He's all powerful, but there is one thing that He cannot do, and that is He cannot worship Himself. And that is why God said that He seeks such to worship Him. When Jesus said that the Father seeks those to worship Him in spirit and in truth, it's because this is something that He cannot do Himself. And so when you worship God, you do not worship God out of need, but you worship God because He is in need of your worship. And so when you worship God, it is because He is in need of your worship. Understand that you were created to worship, and that when you do so, that you touch the heart of the Father. When you worship, it causes God to locate you. I don't care what you are caught up in. I don't care about your circumstances or your situation. Whatever it is, when you worship out of affection, God will locate you. It says that I seek those to worship me in spirit and in truth. The word truth here in this instance means sincerity of heart. Not truth like scriptural truth. It means sincerity of heart. So now you come before God with a heart of sincerity, meaning you're real. There's no fakeness about you. There's no doubt, nor disbelief, nor unbelief. And with great affection, what is affection? It means that you can either show that you're sad or that you're happy, that there's joy. And so you might cry before God because you miss Him. Or you might cry because you're happy because His presence is upon you. But it is real. It is out of your heart. It comes from a place of joy. It comes from a place of expectation. It is where the entirety of your being is implied to worship. And you cry out unto Him, "Holy are you, Lord God Almighty." Amen. Worship will cause God to locate you. It is here where God meets man and things start to change in your life. Listen, the Bible speaks of a utopian eunuch. And I want you guys to listen to this so that you can understand the fullness of the story. Now, the Bible says that there was a move of God taking place in the city of Samaria. And the city of Samaria hosted a population of more than 250,000 people. And there were great miracles, signs and wonders taking place during this crusade in the city of Samaria. Amen. And so the man that God used, through whom these miracles came, his name was Philip. And so an angel of God appeared unto Philip. And he said, "Philip, I want you to abandon this crusade. I need you to leave this crusade." And so he was transported by the Spirit of God to the backside of the desert to go and meet a man. Say amen. Now the Bible says that there was a man and he was a eunuch and that he served under the queen of Utopia with great authority, because he was given charge over the treasury of Utopia. So he was an important man. But he went to Jerusalem to go and worship. Stay with me. He went to Jerusalem to go and worship. But now, because he was a eunuch, and according to the law of Israel, he was not allowed to enter into the assembly of the righteous. And so although he had traveled more than 3,000 miles to come and worship, he was not allowed to enter into the assembly of the righteous. So he had to stand outside to worship. Because in those days, you had to go to Jerusalem to experience the presence of God, because the blood had not yet been shed. Jerusalem was the only place where you could go to experience God's presence, where there was a manifestation of His presence. And so he went to this place to go and worship. And after that he worshiped and he left, after traveling 3,000 miles just to go and worship, expecting nothing in return. Heaven stood still. And an angel of God was given charge, sent to Philip with a new mandate of the Father that is in heaven, saying that, listen, you have to stop this crusade because you have a new assignment to go and meet a man. But this was no ordinary man. You need to understand that this man was a worshiper. And so on his way back, the angel of God took Philip and he transported him to the backside of the desert. And he saw this man standing on his chariot. And he read out of the book of Isaiah about the prophecies of Jesus Christ. And he came past, asked him, "Listen, what are you reading? Do you understand what it is that you are reading?" And he replied, "How can I understand unless someone teaches me or explains it to me?" And he started to minister Jesus Christ unto him. You have to understand that it was custom for this man every year at the same time. He would go on this journey of 3,000 miles to go and worship. And that he was, with the story is playing off in the book of Acts, meaning at this time the blood have already been shed. Christ have already gone back into heaven and the veil have already been torn. But this man did not know it. He thought that the presence of God was only still located in Jerusalem. And God knew that, listen, this man is going to go back to Utopia, and the next year, this time, he's going to come back to seek me again, to come and worship. But I need to send someone to bring revelation that the blood had been shed. And so God sent Philip, and he encountered God, and he said he died. What you're reading about have already taken place. The veil have already been torn. You have full right into the presence of God. And he told them, you no longer have to travel to Jerusalem to experience his presence. He said, here right now, I can lay hands on you and you will experience the power and the fire of God. And he asked, how can this be? Because you have already gone up into heaven and the Spirit of God have already been poured out upon all flesh. And by the laying on of hands, I can give it what it is that you need. God located a man that was a worshiper. People in the city of Samaria were encountering God. Blessings were being poured out upon more than 200,000 people. Yet one man that was a worshiper drew the attention of God. And God took the very vessel through whom those miracles came from the 200,000 people, and he took him to one man so that he can encounter God. Never underestimate a location. It is here that God meets man and things start to take place in your life. Identity starts to change when you worship. Listen, when Jacob deceived his brother Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. And his mother said, listen, you better run for your life. Get out. And so he left. Years later, he made his way back home to meet his brother again. He was filled with fear. Him as Jacob was filled with fear, fearing for his life. And so he sent his entire family and all of his possessions, he sent before him in sections as a gift to his brother to kind of soften his heart so that he will not persecute him. And he was left alone. And the Bible says that he wrestled with God. And after that he wrestled with God, after that worship, when he was fighting on his knees, in that state of worship, there was an identity change. As God said that your neighbor is no longer Jacob, but it is now Israel. And he gained the confidence to go back and face his brother. You see, his brother was waiting for Jacob. His brother wanted to persecute Jacob, but Israel came in. There was an identity change the moment that he encountered God. A divine additive of heaven was added, where he received the boldness of a lion, where he could speak with boldness, and there was no longer any fear. He knew exactly who and what his God was. Amen. Put on the screen for me. It's not a long word. Almost done. Matthew chapter 15, King James Version. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And just follow with me until I tell you to stop. And it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same region and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, there's two things I want to take out of this. Jesus is known as the son of David. A worshiper brought victory to the entire nation of Israel because he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. The very mountain upon which Jesus was crucified is known as Golgotha. And if you break it up, it means Goliath of Gath. The very name in itself means place of the skull. When David faced Goliath, he came out 39 times, cursing the armies of God. But on the 40th time, he came out and he cursed the God of the armies. And at that moment, the battle changed direction and was taken into the spiritual. And David knew that, listen, this is going to fall in my favor because of what this man has said, because he knew his God, because he was a worshiper. And he spotted a weakness in front of the man standing in front of him. As he said that, "Your uncircumcised Philistine, today you will fall at my feet." Uncircumcision, speak of covenant. He knew that before him is standing a man that was not staying in covenant with the true living God. And that man fell at his feet. For 39 books, the enemy have tried to take out God's people. But on the 40th book, a new king was born. As when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified with his feet facing down on top of the skull of Goliath. And victory was this, because of the worshiper. You see, when Goliath faced David, he wasn't facing David. He was facing the son of David. And that is Jesus Christ. As the Bible says that he is the son of David. And this woman cried and said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Go on for me. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying after us." Go on. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Go on. And then she came and worshipped him. Say, she worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Go on. But he answered and said, "It is not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Go on. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Go on. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And a daughter was made whole in that very hour. This woman's worship gave her access without permission. She was a Gentile. The blood had not yet been shed. God could physically not, he could not heal her. He had not the mandate nor the permission from the Father to do it yet. The blood was not shed. And so she cried after him, "Lord, help me." He ignored her. How long are you willing to persevere before something comes to pass? And yet she cried out, she said, "Lord, help me." And he said that, "Listen, I have not come but for the lost sheep of Israel, and that it is not meet for me to give the children's bread to the dogs." And what she did was very profound. It was so profound that it was found worthy to be recorded in the very word of God. And the Bible says that she fell down to her feet and she worshipped. Right there she invaded heaven. As Jesus stood still and said, "Father, we've got ourselves a situation." And the father said, "What is it, my son?" He said, "Listen, we've got ourselves a worshiper." And the father says, "But what is the problem with that?" And he responded, "But she's a Gentile, Lord." And he says, "You better answer her prayer, because we cannot pass a worshiper by. Understand that your worship is the very thing that will give you access without permission. Your worship is the thing that will take you to dimensions that you have not ever thought possible. Your worship is the very thing that will loosen the blessings of God upon your life." I'm enjoying myself. I'm very calm. I don't know what happened. We went away for a few days. I came back. I'm so at rest. I'm so at peace. There's like this morning as well. And I'm just enjoying myself. I just want everyone to stand with me, please. The Bible says that no man is to come into the presence of God empty-handed. And so worship forms a big part of you giving. Your giving is an act of worship. Whether you believe it or not, this is scriptural. Every time that someone in the Bible would meet someone with high authority, they would bring gifts. Every time that you encounter God in worship, it will be good for you to give a gift. For the word says, do not come to me empty-handed. Amen. And so this is me taking up an offering now. I want you guys, before you come to the front, I want to pray for something very specific tonight. I want to pray tonight for hearts to be opened. To be able to be more sensitive for the presence of God. Amen. I want to pray for a sincerity of heart to come upon you. I want to pray for a broken heart. Not a bad type of brokenness, a good type of brokenness. And as you come forward, I want you to bring a gift. I want you to bring something with as an act of worship. As tonight, this is the very thing that will give you access to those various rooms that is in the Father's house. And for those who did not attend, these various rooms indicate the different levels of intimacy with God. And we stagnate at certain levels and we do not move on. We get caught up in one room and we do not move out. Because there's no intimacy, there's no relationship with God. And we spoke on, how do you know whether you will be going to heaven? The answer is very simple. Do you have a relationship with God? And we spoke on that this morning, and you might ask me, okay, Martin, but how do I know that I have got a real relationship with God? And we spoke on that when you have a relationship with someone, there's a two-way communication. And I asked the guys, and I want to ask those standing here tonight, when last did you hear God speak to you? Because the greatest question that we should ask tonight is how do I know that I will go to heaven? When you leave this earth, your spirit man will go to either one of two places, and that is either hell or heaven. And when I ask people, will you go to heaven? They normally say, I think so. I hope so. If that is your answer here tonight, and you're not sure, let us pray for you. Amen. To make sure that your heart is right with God. Do not gamble with this thing. Heaven is not a game. It is serious. When last did you hear the Father speak? Is it still you just rushing in, laying off a few demands and living every single day the same thing? Or is it where you come in and you physically speak? Amen. I've used this example this morning. This is a relationship with God. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Martin. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. So what is on the agenda for today, God? Every time that I go into my prayer closet, I will wait for God to speak first. Because then I know it's not going to be the same thing. Why is the sound dipping like this? Please make it stop. Because then I know that it's not going to be the same thing over and over. Monotonous, mechanical. It should be exciting having this relationship with God. What an honor. What a privilege is it not to rub shoulders with Him? What an honor and what a privilege is it not to walk side by side with the only everlasting true living God? What an honor is it not that we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, a direct link with heaven, that we can speak in a heavenly language that the enemy does not understand? What an honor to know God. It is exciting. He is eternity, and everything about Him is vast and great. And it will take you eternity to get to know Him. Amen.